All right, so I've titled the message Life Giver, Life Giver, okay? Because I want to, and we'll pick up with Matthew chapter 4 next week, but today my text is actually going to come out of the book of Genesis, and it's actually the last scripture that I'm going to mention, not the first, because I have to bring us into context and bring us through the lovely word of God, because as I've said, and when I keep repeating something, it's because the Holy Spirit keeps repeating something in my own spirit. Amen. And I keep saying it. He keeps saying it to me. And so I keep saying it. And so I keep saying this. God gives revelation for the purpose of relationship. God is the self-revealing God. If he does not reveal himself to you, you cannot know him. And so he reveals himself. You can beat someone over the head all day with the Bible, but unless God reveals himself to their spirit, Jesus said, unless a man be born of flesh and of the spirit, right? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so it is God who then comes and reveals himself, and the purpose of that revelation is so that he might have relationship with the person. Notice in what I just read in Daniel, what God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar was what he was going to do. But he didn't reveal his person to Nebuchadnezzar. He revealed his person to Daniel. Daniel was a prophet who knew God. But Nebuchadnezzar was a heathen king. He was not a worshiper of God. God revealed his plan as he did to Pharaoh in the book of Genesis when Joseph, interpreted that dream. God revealed his plan, what he was going to do, but he didn't reveal who he was to Pharaoh. Why? Because he wasn't intent upon having a relationship with Pharaoh. Pharaoh's place was at the bottom of the Red Sea. Hello. So he revealed his plans to Pharaoh, but he reveals his person to those people that he's going to have relationship with. And aren't you glad about it? And I find myself rejoicing like a little child these days every time I think about the fact that he revealed himself to me because he wants me to have relationship with him. That is the most awesome thought that just moves me as a 52, soon to be 53-year-old little boy. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. And so here we have his eternal word that he gave to us for the purpose of what? He gives revelation for the purpose of relationship. And some people cry and say, how do I know God better? How am I supposed to know? Well, he gave this. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it doesn't take long before it gets to, and God said. And God said. When you say something, typically you say it to someone else. We'll get into that in a second. But one of the results of relationship is with God is worship. So he brings us into relationship with himself, and the effect that that relationship has on us is worship. Ephesians chapter 1 bears it out because Paul, when he began to pray for the church, he said this, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, not his ways. He didn't say, I want you to know the plans and purposes of God. I want you to be able to stand up and tell me 300 years from now what is going to happen. No, he didn't say that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if I have all revelation, if I have all this wisdom and I have not love, if I don't know him, he said it's fruitless. It's nothing. No. Paul was praying that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who he is. Luke 2:32, Simeon, when he came in to the temple, he picked up Jesus in his hands and began to prophesy. And he says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. He said, this child is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. What's the revelation is that he was the Messiah. And the Messiah came to reconcile man to God. Why? Because God, not us, God wanted relationship with man. So he gave revelation. And then Ephesians 3, Paul says again, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That the Gentiles, Paul says, God revealed to me and through the holy prophets and the scriptures that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs of God. They would come into relationship with God through Christ Jesus. So revelation is given, we see in the scripture, because God wants relationship with us. And oh, how he wants it. And oh, how we need it. So let me start off in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let me read that. Genesis 1, 26 will be pretty much for the balance of this message in Genesis. Genesis 1, 26, we know the scripture well, says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Now watch this. He didn't say, let me make man in our image. He said, let us. So in the Godhead, before man was ever created, there was already divine relationship. Let us make man. So when he made man, God was bringing man already into a relationship, because God wanted relationship with man. Listen, the reason that you were created was for relationship with God, pure and simple. Pure and simple. You think there's any wonder why that God made Adam first all by himself? So that who did Adam have for relationship all by himself first? Who did he have? God. Alone. Alone. Who did Eve have alone? The scripture says God made her and brought her to the man. But God made her. We don't know how long it was. Hello? What am I trying to say? You're supposed to have a relationship with God first all by yourself. Alone with God. Hello? Come on. So, why? Because that's the divine pattern, the divine order. He created us between us and him alone first, right? Let me get back to this. So let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over everything that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. Interesting. That when God made everything he made is for his glory. We understand that. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Now, he created all things for his glory. And when you walk outside sometimes at night or in the sunrise or the sunset, you walk outside and you may not say it the way some other folks. I know I walk out there and go, ha, 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 hey, hey, whoa, hey. My God, what? Come on, look at this. Somebody look at this. Now get on Facebook and every now Sherry or Patterson will post a sunrise. Somebody else is out there getting it the way I'm getting it, because I'm out there having a fit. I'm looking at this going, my. It's glorious, and he created it for his glory, right? But up until this point, if you were to go read Genesis chapter 1, all those things that he made for his glory, yet none of them were made in his image until he came to you. Until he came to you. God said, let us now then, none of the animals, none of the cosmos, none of that was made in his image. He said, let us now make man in our own image. So God created man in his own image. in the image of God, he created him, speaking of Adam, which would be inclusive of her because it goes on to say male and female, he created them. The full image of God is realized in both male and female. Hello? The full image of God is recognized in both male and female. All right? And so, the scripture says, then God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. You say, Pastor, I thought you were preaching on Mother's Day. Yeah, I'm get to it. We have to go through these. I was going to say weeds, but there are no weeds in the Bible. We have to go through this luscious growth of foliage and wonderful things as we come down to the scripture that we're looking for. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that lives, everything living thing that moves on the earth. And so to those who then bear the image of God comes the commandment of God. You notice this. To those who bear the image of God come the commandment of God. Now, God blessed the animals, but he didn't command the animals. He blessed and commanded those who were made in his image. Why? Because the image of God involves love. The image of God being created in his image involves a choice. Did Jesus have a choice? Didn't he say, when they said, come down from the cross, others said, why don't you defend yourself? And Peter got out his sword and Jesus said, don't you think I can't call my father? He says, don't you know I could have a legion of angels here? Did Jesus have a choice? You better believe he had a choice. But love is what keeps him. Love is what keeps them one. He gave Adam a choice. Why? Because love must always have a choice or is not love. Hello? And so we see this divine love in the Godhead where they always choose one another. I said, they always. Jesus said, I always do the things that please him. I always do the things that please him. Always. Which means there wasn't one time when he hasn't chosen to love his father. So the choice to love God is required to maintain the image of God we were made in. Some people say, well, why did God put him in the garden and knew that they were going to fall? He put the tree. Why would he put the tree there? Because love must have a choice. But he knew that there were. Yeah, but he still has to give him the choice. I can't walk up to my wife and say, you're going to love me. I know we got that song out in the world that says, you're going to love me. Totally unbiblical. Or you may like it and be crooning with it and everything, but I'm sorry. Yeah, it may make you feel good for like a hot moment, a hot minute, and then it's gone, like everything else in the world. But the word of God lives and abides forever, forever. Okay, let me make sure we got that straight. So our Creator goes on to made us to have dominion over his created things. We just read that when he said have dominion over the fish of the sea. To have dominion properly, one must live, subject to the giver of dominion. To have dominion properly, one must live subject to the giver of the dominion. Please note that God never gave Adam dominion over other human beings. He gave him dominion over everything that creep, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. What do we see throughout all of history? People having dominion over people. Did you know that in North Korea, they have three statues? Golden statues. Some people think they read the book of Daniel and they read about Nebuchadnezzar who built this statue. That's way back in the day. Do you know that there are some 100-foot tall statues of three men in North Korea? And you must worship them. There are songs written to these leaders. Two of them are dead, and one, Kim Jong-un, is the leader now. But his father and grandfather are dead, yet they worship them. golden statues. I have a picture on my computer at home of the people of North Korea bowing down before the golden statue in an open square in North Korea. People say, when they read the book of Daniel, they go, oh, that was, I can't believe they were, this dude made a statue and they were worshiping it. And that's hard to believe. Here today, in our lifetime, this is going on. Why? Because the devil is real. And he's captured the hearts of men to worship themselves. Because he wants worship. We'll get into that next week. When he said to Jesus, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all these things. It's the same thing. It's no different. Okay? So, I already said the image of God is represented male and female. Man without God wants to alter the sexes, though. I was telling my children the other day, when I was growing up, I didn't even never heard the word transgender. If you said to me transgender, I'd be like, huh? I'm talking about in high school. I didn't see boys walking down the hallway. We didn't know what that's like. I'm sorry, maybe you did, but we did. I ain't never seen that. Okay? But what is that? God made them male and female. He said he created them in his image. He made them male and female, but the world that rejects God makes them male and female. Amen. I just switched the two. Fail, F-A-L-E, female. That's what the world, because the world, why? Takes everything and corrupts it. Turns it inside out and says, this is the way we live now. Huh? So when Carl said, you don't even have to say anything, you just walk in. Listen, when you walk in made in the image of God, bearing the image of God, oh, people gonna know. Oh, people gonna know. And they question themselves, what is it about that person? Wonder what it is. LGBT lifestyle is aberrant behavior. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Made man from the dust of the ground. God is an awesome God. Adam was made from dirt, y'all. From dirt. But if God blows on dirt, look what you get. Come on. We blow on dirt. What happened? It just moved a little bit. That's all that happened. Genesis 2:18 reads, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now, watch this. It is God who said, now God made him alone, right? It was God who observed that it wasn't good for him to be alone. He says, I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 19, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam. Watch this. God makes all these creatures and he brings them to his creation that's made in his image to see what he would call them. Here now is amazing to me. Adam, but we see the image of God in Adam. Because Adam now to Adam's knowledge and to our knowledge, God hasn't done this before. Adam has never seen an animal. But God brings the animal to Adam, and Adam names it. He calls it out of, listen, I believe that when God first made Adam and Eve, before they sinned, before they fell, there was a prophetic spirit that rested upon them. That's what called Adam to see something he ain't never seen before. And he said, and he named it. He named the birds. He named the animals. And the scripture says, it goes on and says here, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. That's how God made Adam. I mean, he imbued him. He filled him with his image. And it goes on and says, so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. And so while God's parading all these animals, bringing them before Adam, the scripture goes on and says, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now, some people might look at this and say, God made something deficient. I mean, he didn't have what he needed. No, the scripture, God's telling his own story. He's telling you, I did it that way. I made him first alone. Me and him. Then I took note that it wasn't good for him to be alone. Why? Wasn't no plan B. I need to do something for Adam. I didn't think about that. No. It was all in God's perfect timing. He paraded the animals before Adam, and Adam can see. The scripture says, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So God establishes Adam's dominion over the animal kingdom by allowing him to name all the animals. However, Adam was alone. Why is that important? It's important because God made us for relationship, but we see Adam alone. But God made us for relationship. What does that mean? It means that God's going to bring the right relationship at the right time. Oh, let me tell you how that works today. If you are alone, hey, let me speak to some of these young people. Where you at? You got a few years yet. We're not going to leave you alone. But amen. But we got some over here who you alone. Oh, there's another one. We got a group. We got a whole group over here. You alone, and you say, man, this thing is messed up. Something's wrong here. No. God made it that way. He made it that way. Why? Because he knows what he's going to do. He's the one that creates the one so that you can come into relationship with the one. So don't worry. Adam wasn't worried. Was he worried? No. And so, verse 21, we pick up. Genesis 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. A heavenly anesthesia took hold to Adam. And he fell up in a deep sleep. And he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Now, Adam, as I just said in Genesis 2:7, was made from dirt. But the woman was made from a rib. Why? Why didn't God just leave Adam over there? Why didn't God just go over here, take some dirt, fashion her, and raise her up? Why did he do that? Huh? Well, see, that's how God made the animals. Okay? He made Adam that way. But to me, I believe that it's because this was going to be a totally different relationship than he would have with any animal, any fish, any bird. The origin of her origin, it had in it, built in it, just like, watch this, God, when he made Adam, the scripture says, let us make man in our image. So Adam's origin, not his physical body, but the whole concept of his being, came from God. So Eve's origin came from Adam. The relationship. God wanted relationship. So had Eve just come from dirt the way he came from dirt, would have been different. Could have been different. She could have said, you know, I'm from the dirt over here and you from the dirt over there. What we got to do with each other? Huh? Right? No. Instead, God took the rib from out of Adam, and now every brother, you ever see brothers running around looking for their ribs? You know, we went to Mission Barbecue the other day. I saw some brothers up in there looking for their ribs. Yeah. They up in there. I'm missing something. And and so God took Eve from Adam. Why? Because Adam was not supposed to have dominion over Eve. He was to have dominion over all the animals and so forth. But he wasn't to have dominion over her. He was to have dominion with her. Hello? Come on, ladies. Y'all missed the time to shout right there. I said Adam didn't come. Adam wasn't supposed to have dominion over her. God took her from his rib so that he would have dominion with her. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the whole family structure that the world is so feverishly trying to tear down today. Why? Because it bears the image of God. And anything that bears the image of God, the world hates. The world hates it. So he would think differently of her because she came out of him. Isn't that what Paul said? Any man who loves his wife loves himself. So the two really are one. Because Eve came out of Adam. So the two really are one. Just as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, so the husband and wife are to be one. God made it that way intrinsically. So just as when God brought the animals, where is it? Here it is. Let me read it. It says, Lord God caused a deep sleep, fill him. He took one of the ribs, closed up the flesh. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Now watch this. This is the same language that's a few verses before where it says, and God made the atoms out of the ground. Let me go back where it says here. It says, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. So they came out, the beast of the field came out the same ground Adam was made out of, right? But Eve didn't come out of that ground. Eve came out of him, which made a different relationship with him. That's why these men get in love with these dogs and cats and everything. I said, brother, something wrong with you. God didn't make you. You can't lead a dog. I said, you better go find yourself a wife. Hello. She come out your side, brother. You need to go find her. But watch. It says, and he made out of the ground every beast of the field and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And so the next scripture says, or verse 22 says, the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And just like he brought the animals, he brought Eve. Now, except for this time. Adam has never seen a woman. He doesn't know what a woman is. But God, he brought the elephant. Adam says elephant. Brought the camel. Adam says camel. Come on. He brought the llama, and the Adam says llama. And then Eve stepped up, and Adam said, walked up to her. Put his hand up, and she put her hand up, hand to hand. Oh, goodness. Huh? Got close to her, nose to nose, mouth to mouth, stood next to her, looked up at that same height and everything. And he looked at her, he said, my, wait a second. Now, you know you heard the story where he said, whoa, man. And that's where the woman got her name from. Except for it wasn't a name, it was a designation. It was a designation. We know that, right? Because the scripture says, now remember, Adam has never seen, woman has never existed before. But Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. There was a prophetic anointing, spirit, however you want to call it, resting upon Adam. This is before sin entered the human race. He said, this is now bone of my bones. You talk about a prophetic word, getting it right the first time in great detail. This is now bone of my bones. You think he was awake during the operation? No. He was asleep. He says, this is flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And he also, so he recognizes that the woman's body is just like and similar to, but also part of his own body. He recognizes that. By divine revelation, however you want to say it, did God tell him? I don't know. I wasn't there. But we do know that, we know what he says. He says that she's bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. But then he also recognizes that she was literally taken from him, but not taken by him. He recognized God's handiwork. He said, she was taken out of me. She got her body from Adam, but she got her spirit from God. Right? And so, you said, we're getting to the mother part. We're getting there. Hold on. Got to lay the groundwork. She got her body from Adam, but she got her spirit from God. Let me mention this again, because this is another thing I can't get away from. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 15 through 17. And when I read things like this, I've already prayed for you, prayed for us, that God would help us receive what he's saying, because it's fantastic. It's listen to this. So do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? Why is sexuality paraded around the globe the way it is? Why is it that you cannot turn on anything without seeing it being brought low and used and just made a mess of? Because God made it. That's why. And he made it right. And he made it honorable. The scripture says, the Hebrews 13 says, the marriage bed is honorable among all. And so he made us sexual, and it is a beautiful thing. But the scripture speaks of, in 1 Corinthians 6, says, or do you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, says he, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, I've said this before, but let me say it again. You were not made but to be one spirit with one person. You can be one flesh with any person of the opposite sex. You can be one flesh, but you were only made to be one spirit with one person. And when I think about that, I say, oh, God. And we are one spirit with him now. 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 So, this is being one spirit. This being one spirit with the Lord does not take away from a married one flesh union with your spouse. I'm going to say that again. This being one spirit with the Lord does not take away from a married, and I say married on purpose, because you can be one flesh with a harlot, with someone you're not married to. That's not of God. But this relationship with God does not take away from a married one flesh union with your spouse, listen, but it does supersede it. It does supersede it, which means that for any reason, any biblical reason, my wife and I were separated in our relationship, my relationship with him would never end. Her relationship with him would never end, would never cease. Why? Because one spirit supersedes one flesh. What is the world filled with? All it wants you to think about is one flesh. Sex, sex, sex. That's all it wants you to think about. It does not want you to think about one spirit. Why? It doesn't know anything about one spirit. God is the only one who fashioned you for relationship, and he wants relationship with you, and he knows that you need relationship with him. Your very life depends on it. Why? Because he made you that way. Therefore, Adam goes on and says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Remember when Paul quoted that? He quotes this. He says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church, which has to do with the spirit. We get all up into this flesh. And God's going to fulfill the needs of our flesh. Don't worry. Don't say, I just want to get married before Jesus returns. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. It's going to be all right. Jesus left his father to be joined to his wife, the church, and we are one spirit with him now. Okay? The scripture says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now we're getting down to the text for today. Won't be long. Trust me. So you know the story. Now, here's what's interesting as we go further. Right now, we're at the end of Genesis chapter 2. You know what happens in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. And when God came into the garden and he said to Eve, "What is this that you have done?" And she said, "The serpent beguiled me, tricked me, and I ate." And so the Lord God said to the serpent, Genesis 3:14, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust and all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman." So he curses the serpent. You are cursed. Adam and Eve were punished, but the serpent was cursed. It's the difference. So he curses the serpent, but in the curse, God puts a promise of life. Watch this, because in verse 15, he says this: "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed." Now, remember what God said: "The day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die." Now, Adam and Eve didn't know what that meant. I mean, other than the fact that we're going to die. But did it mean you're going to drop dead? There's a difference between drop dead. Well, God shows, he says that Eve and Adam are going to have seed. He says, "I'm going to put in between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head." The devil is going to have his foot on the neck of the, or Jesus is going to have his foot on the neck of the devil. The seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent, and you shall bruise his heel. So in the curse pronounced over the serpent was the promise of life, yet unseen to Adam and Eve, yet unseen. "For in her seed would come one who would wound the head of the serpent." So we have that. We have them. Remember that the God said that to the devil. Right. Then he speaks to Eve, you know, "Your desire is going to be to your husband. I will greatly multiply your pain or your discomfort in childbearing," and so forth. And he punishes Eve. And then he comes to Adam, the last one. And he says, the scripture says, Adam, he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." So to Adam comes the punishment, because in Adam we died. Not in Eve, but in Adam. So God says it to Adam, "For out of the ground you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return." Now here's the astounding thing to me as I'm reading through the scripture. God pronounces this to Adam: "Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." The very next verse says this: "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." And I'm like, well, wait a second. Just in the flow of, you know, in the flow of, here's God pronouncing judgment. He's divine judgment. It just seems out of place. The very next line: "And Adam called his wife's name Eve." So here we get her name, which means life. Life giver. Why was she named Eve? Because she was the mother of all living. So why would Adam name his wife seemingly right after God pronounces this judgment? And I think that for me, looking at the scripture, it goes back to what the Lord said to the serpent. God said to the serpent that, "I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. God's going to give us life." My wife's going to have children. And God is saying that the seed that will come out of my wife, that's capital S seed, not not lowercase seed. He wasn't talking about you and I. He said the seed that's coming out of this woman, he was speaking directly to the Messiah, the Christ child. That seed is going to bruise your head. Not only was Eve going to bring forth posterity, not only was she going to have children, but she was going to have the child. Not only was she going to bring forth life, but she was, through her seed, she was going to bring forth the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. And so when Adam heard that, Adam believed God. And Adam turned and looked at his wife. Now, what would you normally name her? If God's just pronounced judgment and all this, you would look at her and say, you foul thing, you. I think I'm going to name you darkness, death, or deceived. Or, I mean, you would name, come on, what they named Jacob? Hello? They named him, didn't they? According to his character. According, but Adam doesn't name her that way. Adam says, I'm going to name you life giver. You're life. You're giving life. After God had just pronounced to him death, for the dust you are and dust you shall return. But Adam says, Eve, your name is life giver. Why? Because he believed the promise. Adam believed the promise that God gave when he spoke a word of judgment to the serpent. And so Adam had faith in God's promise. Eve was made in the image of God. God is a giver of life, isn't he? And so then, Eve being made in his image, God made her to be the bringer forth or the giver of life. Okay? Though man had fallen through sin, God promised life and a seed through Eve that would defeat the serpent and the death that he brought. Mothers, you are the Eves of your household. You are the givers of life. You are the ones who brought forth life and who continues to bring forth life. It was through you that God brought life to all of us. And so we celebrate God's gift to us in you. That's what Mother's Day is all about. We're celebrating God's gift to us through you, the givers of life. Happy Mother's Day. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless you for your word. We thank you, O God, that your kingdom is everlasting and of it there will be no end. We thank you that you are fashioning that, Lord, for your people, Lord, which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and heart hasn't even thought about it, hasn't even entered into. But, oh God, you're doing it by your Spirit. Father, Lord, you're making it great. Lord, you're making it glorious because you can only do great and glorious things. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that this word would be lived out, would be fleshed out, oh God. Father, we would see it, oh God, living out in our own lives, Lord, as we live for your glory and your honor and your praise. We give you thanks for your word as it has its course, free course in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.